Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Got Ferreira at the far post. Can he get a shot off? It's Ferreira to get his second. Yes, he does. Goes in off the hands of JT Marcinkowski. Sebas Ferreira has picked up the second. It's 4-2, Houston Dynamo.
Ask you a question, man.
All right, so you want us to start right away? It's your house, so
jump right into the shit, man. Jump into it.
All right, so I always wanted to ask someone from Houston, because I think you guys have one of the best stadiums in the league, especially location wise, because I think you went down the block from Astros, where the Astros play.
We're right across the street, bro,
pretty much, right? But attendance wise I don't see you guys ever really having, like, at least an attendance that I'm like, could say, quote unquote, respectable. You have a core that's strong, but it's just never, your stadium always looks empty because orange seats everywhere. And I'm always curious as to why, like, is there something that gets talked internally? Whatever you guys have for me, because that has been my one concern. I was like, you guys really should pack the house. It's a beautiful stadium.
All right, Joey, I'm going to take this one.
All right, go ahead.
So, yo, they got rid of those orange fucking seats. The orange seats were terrible, dude, and it highlighted the lack of attendance. Look, I don't know how much you guys have followed Houston.
I've been there. I've been to the game. I've been to the stadium. I went to NYCFC versus Houston. I think
was
it was
Mikey Lopez.
I think it was 2017 or 2018.
Open Cup, was it Open Cup game?
No, it was a league game. Y'all won 3-1, I believe, and that's the game. One of your players shattered one of our players' ankle, and he was out for like 6-7 months.
I want to say that was 2017.
Yeah, I think it was
Bezos.
Because 2018 was the time when they had to move it to Connecticut.
Yeah.
Yes, I was at that game also, but I went to the Houston game at Houston, and it was. I can answer this question too. Why nobody goes? Because it's 175 degrees out there.
Dude, it's okay.
Yeah, but I want the local perspective as to why your attendance.
I walked out the airplane and I was like, wait a second. There's no AC here on the outside? Like, this is hot.
It's like Vietnam,
it's humid.
It's
like my armpits. It's like my armpits, but everybody gets to smell it.
Oh, that's the best. So, like, all right. So, number one, the orange seats are gone. And those were terrible because they really highlighted when people didn't show up. Number two, the club went through about a decade of neglect with an owner who was focused primarily on turning a profit. And boy, did he. I think he bought into the club for, Joey, correct me if I'm wrong, $50 million, and he sold it for $450. He sold his majority ownership for $450.
Yeah, something around that number.
All right. Now, the new owner has ripped the orange seats out. They're multicolored. It's a totally different atmosphere. But I will tell you, Houston has a bunch of fair weather fans. We have a lot. Yeah, I just tell the shit how it is. When we're winning, every team, Texans, Astros, Rockets, Dynamo, when they're winning, people
or
show
cheating.
Up. We're cheating. Don't go there. I'm a Mets fan, bro, but like, I'm not going to touch on that subject. Look, they cheated. They all cheated, but Houston did it. Houston did it at a different level, man. That Astros fans wear me the fuck out with that shit. Like, you guys videoed it. Like, that's different. That's a whole new level.
We use technology. You guys use trash cans. Levels to
it. They use tech and trash cans. They fucking they integrated all of it. But man, we went through about a decade of neglect with has-been players, USL superstars suiting up for us. Hondurans, we had a big Honduran phase. But you could see the amount of people who lost interest, and we got so used to losing that people stopped going. It doesn't help that, as Sanchez said, it's hot as fuck here, and only about half the stadium is covered. That was a boner on the engineer's part. Mm-hmm. But when we win, and when we are winning, that bitch is packed. And it is a, it's a good atmosphere. You know, you look at Dallas. Dallas has been around since, what, 95, 96?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're original with the burn.
Yeah, their attendance is worse than us. And we we have a stadium in downtown. Like, Sanchez, you've been there. Like, the stadium is in downtown, bro.
Yeah, so, yeah, I actually walked there from I walked there from where I was staying at. It was, like, a 30-minute walk, but I just walked in, and I realized I'm the only person walking to the stadium because everybody drives in Texas, apparently. And I'm a New Yorker. You walk everywhere. I was like, it's only 30 minutes. Let's just walk it.
Yeah, but it's a hot 30 minutes, bro.
Yeah, it was musty, yeah.
But we don't have a good public transit system. We have a train now that runs downtown. It's not what it needs to be. We don't have subways. Most of it's Uber and Lyft. The taxi cabs, as you guys know, they're pretty much gone. But we're very fair weather here. But man, when we are winning, these motherfuckers are rabid. And when we're
like
losing,
Miami Heat fans.
Bro, when we're losing, they're so negative. It's the fucking worst.
So a follow-up to that, because you brought up the owner. I know, because you guys came to the league essentially as San Jose moving over, right? If I remember correctly.
Yes.
Was it that same owner?
Originally, it changed.
Okay.
Joe, you take this one.
Yeah, it changed owners from 2005 to 2006. Who was it in 2006? I'm not sure the owner was.
Brenner? When did Brenner come in? Because he's the one that ruined it all.
Gabriel Brenner came in, what,
2014? He's the one that fucked it all up.
I want to say it was 2014, 2013, or 2015. It was something around that time. I think he was the one who hired Coyle right away, right?
Yeah. Coyle was 2014, 2015.
He was the one that did the rebrand.
Yes, he was.
He did do the rebrand, yes.
He did the rebrand right before Ted Siegel, who's
2015 was Gabriel Brenner.
The new owner's, he was born in Jersey. He lives in New York. Ted Siegel, he's a commercial real estate guy.
Gotcha.
So he wants to win. We call him Big Dick Ted. Which is funny because he's like 5'6". All right. So, what's attendance like? You guys go, what does Yankee Stadium hold? 45,000?
Yeah, but we only have it configured for soccer. For soccer, we only open the first two levels. So it's like max capacity about 28.
Yeah.
And we average, like last game, we had just over 17 or 18,000. And then the home opener, we had almost 25,000.
Right on.
So I want to say it's going to be good this year, because before winning the cup, the last year or two prior to COVID, the attendance was kind of struggling. You could see attendance struggling. But I feel like right now, though, with the Saturday night games especially, I'm noticing after two games a better atmosphere and bigger crowds.
Yeah.
Who's the Yankees of MLS in New York? It's the all the Red Bulls.
Oh, the Yankees?
Who's the team that everybody supports? The big team, the winning team. Is it y'all?
I mean, we got chips, so we're the Yankees.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We have
that's a crazy one. We don't have to worry about who's supporting anybody.
Yeah, we got the trophies that matter.
Yeah.
So trophies are important, right?
Oh, definitely.
For that context, yeah.
Right on. What were you saying, Yusuf?
No, I said if you walk around the city, you see more blue throughout the city. Like, you can pop it. I work Midtown, so I would see I see a bunch of people sometimes, maybe like with a hat, the kit, or some. We have this book bag that we were given a couple of years back, and people still rock it to work, like the corporate guys. So you see the team is more prevalent in the city. Red Bull, you know,
the majority of their marketing is catered towards New Jersey.
Yeah, like you see a lot of their posters on the PATH train, around the World Trade Center area, 30 on Penn Station, because those are all link ups to Jersey.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The other people I grew up with are all Red Bull fans or Union.
Yeah. Same here.
I hate Philly fans.
We do too.
Although I did root for the Eagles in the Super Bowl.
Mm. Oh, no.
I did as well. I don't know what it was about this year, man, but it was like, you know what? I'm gonna root for the Eagles.
I love seeing that city. That city's fan base, I just love seeing them miserable. They're the worst miserable fan base.
Santa with batteries and snowballs?
I think our Twitter account for the podcast, I think at least once a week we get mentioned by some Philly fan
about some
COVID cup, or we didn't deserve the trophy. Yeah. The Philly fans always just randomly shoot at us. For no reason. whenever, like at least once a week we get it.
So like they're like your Austin.
Yeah. Yeah. Except they've actually won stuff.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and they're actually pretty good consistently. So I think
yeah, we have that bullshit with Austin. Austin's like, you know, we're the best in Texas. It's like, bitch, we got six trophies.
And Austin hasn't even won nothing yet. So
yeah.
You're not even the best in you might be the best, not even the best in your own town, probably.
Austin Bold were forced to be reckoned with before they went to what are they now, North Texas SC or something?
That's Dallas's next pro team.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Dallas has always been a conundrum because they have a phenomenal academy, but they never can quite put it all together.
Correct. Correct.
All right, guys. So international break is here. Mm-hmm. Who are y'all missing and who replaces them?
Luckily for us, we suck. And we only have one player missing on the international break.
Two, technically two.
Who's the other one?
Ilinic got called up by Slovenia.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Maca Ilinic,
our
new signing this year. He's 18 years old. He's from Slovenia. He's a right back. He started one game so far and came off the bench of the other games. And our captain, center back, Maxim Chanot, who plays for Luxembourg. Yeah.
Oh, so you guys are the same boat as us almost.
Yeah, just two players. And yeah. I think the center back, Maxim Chanot, is a bigger loss because he is our starter and he is our center back and he has been our captain these past few weeks. So we didn't really sign a veteran like
a worthy sub.
We didn't really sign somebody. We signed some guy from DC who
Alfredo Rado.
Tony Alfaro.
Yeah.
Who's been a lifelong, I don't want to say mediocre, but like an MLS player, like a depth player. You know, he's not really a starter ever.
And he started DC last year where he's, I think we're probably last in goals against. Like, it's just.
Yeah, so it's not very good. I think that's the only piece that I think that might be more worrisome, to be honest.
Do you think Sands starts in his place?
No, I think Sands is going to be – I think the team kind of made it known that Sands is going to be our number six, and that's that.
I mean, that's good. I like him better in that position too.
Yeah, he's – since he's come back from Rangers, he looks like a different player.
Completely different.
He looks like he's put on weight. He looks like a man. He left a child and came back a man.
Yeah.
And he put on more muscle mass. His hairline is receding.
Yeah.
Sounds like Joey.
We used to joke around and say that he needs some milk all the time because he would just get wild and it's just injury immediately. Like I think in 1 year he's had his hand,
his forearm,
or somewhere in his forearm, his shoulder.
He multiple times
he was just in and out of the lineup because of injury. He comes back and now he's more vocal. He used to be really shy. Like you could tell he's gone through it somewhere and now he's come back and is like, all right. I know what I need. I know who I need to be now to kind of rise above what other players are in my position.
Y'all are talking about QPR, right?
Who?
Sands?
Or South?
No, he was Glasgow Rangers.
Glasgow. Yeah, okay, because QPR, it's Queen's Park Rangers. They're fixing to get relegated again.
Yeah. No.
Glasgow right, Rangers.
Glasgow Rangers. I thought it was Scotland.
He went to Scotland, had to deal with that, and he dealt with that controversy with Berhalter, like, right after the Old Firm derby. So he had to deal with a lot. So it's changed him for the better, we think. So we like him in that position. I think Morales comes in for center back.
Yeah, and I was going to say there's Alfredo Morales could be a backup center back, and another academy kid, Justin Hack, who mm-hmm. started the playoff games last year at center back.
Yeah. So
I know him. H-A-A-K, yeah. Right?
Yes, H-A-A-K. Yeah.
He's got the nice hair.
Yes, he does. And one of those two would start. I would say, I actually think our coach is going to put in Hack in because he's shown that he likes the younger players. He likes youth.
Sounds like Matt Gates.
So I think he'll put Hack in. And I think, honestly, with James Sands right in front of him, it's a lot easier for him to play a little further back and like play that offside line hard. And I think that's what we're going to do. Justin Hack and James Sands.
Joey, who's got better hair? Who's got better hair, Justin Hack or Ethan Bartlow?
Ooh, that's a good. I think
we got a sexy young center back too.
I think Hack has a nice flow, but Dorsey might beat him out on his good days. Like,
stop Hack with that was, Dorsey Hack shit.
Hack got the nickname. Hack got the nickname Cavani for a reason.
He debuted with the first team in a preseason friendly match in Mexico against. I'm not sure if it was against Necaxa or Atlético San Luis. I think it was San Luis. Yeah. And the whole stadium was cheering for Cavani. Like yelling out Cavani every time he touched the ball.
Y'all ever seen Cavani play live in person?
No, I haven't.
I caught Uruguay versus Mexico here at Houston. I saw Suarez and Cavani at the same time. They were fucking unreal.
Oh, man.
The best I've seen in person was Ibrahimovic. Second would be Lukaku.
That was at Energy Stadium?
Yeah. Motherfucker was packed. Everything was
Lewandowski on his Bayern debut.
Yeah, you guys just sent the picture. I think Hack got better hair.
Yeah, but Hack got a bit. Hack got a man bun also. He puts it up also, yeah.
He's gone full fuckboy.
Oh, nice. No. I have to look this up. Fuck, what's a fuckboy? Is it like a rent boy? Is it like a rent boy?
It's like a guy that, I'm going to describe a fuckboy.
Yeah, help me out here, man.
Just someone who just is going to try to bag a girl and just leave her hanging.
Oh, yeah. Player.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, but a little bit more toxic. Like a player, but a little bit more toxic than just a player.
Like
he's going to love bomb you to hell and just make you feel like the best, but then just leave you dropping for the next one. Shit.
I think I've been described as that once. I might have actually. She's probably listening. Sorry.
You have to hold that badge of honor.
Yeah, you're a fuckboy on the inside the phone in the context.
Fuckboy on the down low. What do you got for us?
I think Sanchez has something up his sleeve that he wanted to ask you guys.
Send it to Joey. I got to pour a drink real quick.
I got you.
Me?
Yeah.
Because
you were no, because we were talking beforehand and we're like, you know, we were gonna go with that, but I want to ask you guys, because you started off the season with two losses and just got your win at home, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you guys feel about Herrera? Like,
I would say he's been one of the best players in the whole league this season so far.
Wow.
He's dropping eights and nines out of 10, three games in a row.
Hmm. Okay. So he's having a better second season after last year.
Oh, way better. Way better. He's been a part of everything good we've done.
And that's the thing with MLS, like, especially with foreign players, it's always the second season where you see the jump in, like, getting accustomed to the league, the travel, the playing style, the players, the physicality. The adjustment period is always that first season, especially if they come in midseason.
You are talking about Herrera, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. And especially coming Herrera battling all those injuries too.
Mm-hmm.
He's been fucking lights out so far this
he's
year.
He's out on the national team duty also this week?
Nope.
He's done.
Ooh. He's retired.
He picked Houston over Mexico.
I don't think he retired. I think they just didn't call him.
I mean, he didn't really have, because he came in. I felt like he came in with the energy of it's, you know, big star playing overseas. And he just come in and just says, oh, I'm bigger than this. And kind of got kind of humbled real quick in that you actually have to put in work to play in this league. And maybe now is kind of his character change. I don't know how he's been with the press or with the fans. I saw he was man of the match in the last one, but I don't know. Some of the stuff I was seeing last season he just felt like he was just not in it. He just came in and was just like, let me get my paycheck and do what I have to do.
Well, he came back. He came in off an injury. He was injured. Mm-hmm. I let it go.
Yeah.
And then
he kind of played like he had the World Cup in mind.
Yeah, and we had a different team too. We had no style. It was hoof the ball up the field and go get it. Go play fetch is what we played.
Gotcha.
So who are you missing this week for international duty?
Coco Carrasquilla and Juan Castilla.
And maybe Ivan Franco. He had a kid, but
no, he's playing.
Olsen, he needs to.
He can have another baby around.
He can have more babies, dude.
Are they key players for you to be missing?
Coco, okay. Yes. Juan Castilla doesn't even make our bench.
Okay.
Is Coco the Panamanian?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oof.
Hey, but you know what? He's had two back-to-back subpar games for him.
I would say three.
I would say two. You just have high expectations for him.
I do.
And then you love Griffin Dorsey, which I don't get it.
You got to have high expectations for these players. You know, at the end of the day, as a fan, you want them to win. So having a high expectation is the minimum that we have. That's all we have, really. We don't control much more, but our expectations, like, you know.
Yeah, I just think some people think he's gonna. I think some people expect him to do things that he can't. Like Joey and I know he's not gonna score goals. Even in FIFA, he can't hit the fucking net. And I hold L1 R1. He still don't hit the net. Yeah, those guys don't.
No curlers. No,
man. I go to curl and it's in the fucking row L.
No, I think same thing as Sanchez is saying. Like, I feel like, and this is kind of maybe a little existential or just big picture. Like, I feel like with MLS, we're expected to just take whatever comes our way, and we need to stop that. It's like, no, we want our team to be good. And if you're not performing, get the fuck out. Like, it's just that simple. And for years, I feel like a lot of fans were just like, oh, it's just MLS. And then you get the kind of Euro snobs who are like, oh, this is why it's trash. Like, no, like, look, players that are here need to be good. And if you don't think they're good, get them out of the team.
Yeah, we're not really like a retirement league anymore either. We're getting younger quality players. We're getting late 20s, early 30s guys. Like, this is not a retirement for Herrera. He was 31 when he came here. As a midfielder, he's got, even in Europe, he's got, look at, how old is Modric? 37, 38?
He's hooked.
I mean, he's hooked. Hector Herrera's got 4 quality years left in him. This is not a retirement league anymore.
Yeah, I fully agree with that. I just hope that someone like Hector Herrera, who is still at that age, like, actually sticks around for the length of the contract, you know?
Yeah, I still think that it's viewed as a stepping stone. I still think that the goal is ultimately Europe for most of these guys. I mean, look at the money.
On the way up, yes.
Yeah. But someone like Ache, who's coming back from Europe, like, obviously we spoke about how he was coming off injuries and stuff. I hope he's not using MLS as like a rehab center.
Oh, no.
And then try to get a push to go somewhere else again.
Is he on a 2 or 3? Is it 2 and an option?
It's 2 and an option, I want to say.
And like here, we have a massive Hispanic fan base. Like, you go to these games and it's 70% Hispanic. Maybe more. So the draw he has for the Mexican fans, that's something we've been missing, man. We were linked with Diego Lainez too last year. That would be huge.
You guys thought Cubo Torres was gonna be it for you guys. That was not it.
He was it for like 3 months.
That was not it. That dude did a one robot dance and then just,
that man is playing like in the MPSL right now.
Yeah, he plays
Phoenix Rising. Where's he at? Is it
Phoenix? I think so. Yeah, I think he's a Phoenix. Yeah.
He was with Orange County.
It is Orange County. No, it's Orange County.
Oh, it's Orange County.
He's in Orange County now. Yeah.
Man, what a fall from grace for that guy.
Oh, he's on Vegas now.
Vegas. Hey,
that's a good place to play, man. Have you ever been to a game out there?
In Vegas?
Yeah, Cashman Field, man. They pack it out. Dude.
Vegas? No.
But I have a friend who goes regularly, and he tells me it's a fun time.
It is a good time.
It's like a good time to take your family, and it's like you have a blast.
Yeah, and it's usually full, 10,000 people.
I'll say this about Vegas. Because they're so starved for professional sports, they will support the shit out of whatever they have. Like, Golden Knights sold out. They sell out every single game.
Yeah.
The lights, like, I was in Vegas for a week for work, and it was my hotel was down the road from the stadium, and they had a match, and I was like, is everybody watching? We're like, what is going on? They're like, oh, the lights are playing. And then the next day, it was the minor league, it's a baseball team that plays there.
Yeah.
And they were all going to the baseball game. And it was just like, whatever team is there, they're going to support it.
Mets affiliate. They were the Mets AAA team. That's where Alonso played.
Yes, correct. They got rid of them because I forgot someone. There was a player, a pitcher or something, that had a fly in from Vegas. And like the weather or whatever, he missed the Mets game. So they were like, we can't have an affiliate on the other side of the country for our minor league, you know? So I think they're doing something upstate or in Syracuse or something.
Yeah. Trenton Thunder is one of the Yankees now, or the Red Sox still?
Trenton
Thunder. Well, we have Staten Island, and then we got Wilkes-Barre. And then, because Binghamton is the one for the Mets now.
What's it called? Scranton.
It's Scranton, Staten Island, and Wilkes-Barre.
Is Trenton still Boston then? That's where Nomar played early on. I know that.
It could be. Nah. You never know.
It's not a baseball podcast. Let's get back.
No, exactly.
Let's get back to the football.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right. Hey, what? So you guys aren't missing anybody for the break, really?
Well, like just mainly that center back. Just that one center back, yeah.
Oh, so it should be pretty even.
So that leads into like our formation. We usually like to play with four at the back. We defend with four at the back. We got James Sands, who's like our N'Golo Kanté right now, mm-hmm. and our team fully trusts him to be back there by himself now. Unlike years in the past where we used to play with a double pivot, now we don't. We kind of do line up with Keaton Parks, but Keaton Parks has the freedom to roam all the way up top and leave James Sands on his own because he's trusted and he's good at that. So that's right there. Five, we have Keaton Parks and our re-signing of Santi Rodriguez as our new number 10. Playing in the middle as a attacking midfielder who kind of plays like a false nine at times because I feel like he's not like
it's weird.
He's not like a true
he's not like, a true 10.
Like a in true that, 10, like a Riquelme type of fashion or like a I guess Messi in a way, like the style of play as a distributor. He's not really like that. At least not yet, at least. But he's filling that void in right now. He's our new number 10. We've been starting Gabby Pereira on the right, who's a promising young Brazilian winger who I feel like when he does score, he only scores bangers. And one thing I would like to say that I said on our podcast this week that on fields like Houston's where there's more room, he actually excels more because he's fast. He has great dribble and he'll do winger stuff. He'll take on the guys one-on-one and go for it and then cut in towards the middle and then shoot off that left or right foot. He'll shoot from both legs from just outside the box. And he scored a few of those goals in his time with NYC. And I wouldn't be surprised if he takes at least one of those shots in this game. Mm-hmm. Goes up the right, cuts into the middle, and then shoots in.
Is he left-footed?
Yes, he's very good with that left
foot. Is your left winger right-footed, too? Do you guys invert the wingers?
No. Our left winger, it's because this is the thing.
That's where we kind of like...
That's what we're getting. Yeah. We got Matheus Pellegrini on the left, who is also traditionally plays as a number 10.
Yeah.
So, and then we got Thales Magno up top, who's normally a left winger. So what we do is that Thales Magno as a center forward hasn't really been working. As a true center forward hasn't really been working. So what we see at times is that Magno kind of drops into the left to get the ball in, and then he dribbles up, and Pellegrini comes into the middle. So then you might have formations where you kind of see five guys attacking with Keaton Parks, Santi Rodriguez,
just overload Pereira,
Pellegrini and Magno just overload, and there's like no one really in the center. There's nobody standing at the penalty spot basically, and they're just all attacking from all angles, and then whoever like I guess who's open cuts into the middle, which is usually has to be Thales Magno right now. Is the one going towards the middle, attacking the box.
I'll say in our last match was his most number 9-esque.
Yes.
Like showing where he was primarily centered, couple balls in. He scored finally for some stupid reason it was called offside, which is, you look at the replay, this dude was onside like crazy. But it was like one of the most number 9 goals. It was just Keaton put a great ball in, Kufre, who's our new left back, he puts a ball into the box and he just drags it in. Kind of very like Haaland-esque of just like dragging, just kind of falling over and just the ball goes in. That was his most 9 of showing. Maybe he falls into it again, but yeah, a lot of our play is really that overload, which is it's helped because of Sands being in the back. And
yeah,
we know that.
It all starts with being able to leave James Sands by himself, holding down the defensive midfield position.
So it's like a 4-2-3-1 that becomes a 4-1-4-1.
Yes, in a sense, but the one up top drops back.
Like a false nine.
Yes, okay. Like a false nine, yeah.
Well, that's... So. Joey, what the fuck do we run? Because I can't really tell right now.
I mean, we really run like a 4-4-2/4-2-3-1 type thing. Even sometimes a 4-3-3. Definitely out of position. We always press in a 4-4-2. We kind of do that like off-ball man-to-man in a 4-4-2. We have the two strikers. We'll go up on the center backs and the two wingers. We'll attack the fullbacks. And we have Coco Karaski, who pops up as the other striker in that off-ball setting. So that's going to be interesting to see how we switch it up, because we're not going to have him there. So we might see a very different look off the ball. But on the ball, we'll probably stick into a 4-2-3-1. We'll probably see Bossy go into that 10 spot. And then we'll probably keep Barrett in, Franco, and then hopefully Sebas Ferreira comes back in. But it's really interchangeable, a 4-2-3-1, a 4-3-3 when it comes to our possession play.
A lot of it comes down to we don't really know who is the best attacking three yet. Like, we know Sebas Ferreira can score goals. He scored 13 goals last year on a team that was shit rotten. At the same time, he's played one match. He got, you know, mop-up time last week. What was it? He was dispossessed three times. But he has the potential. He starts slow. But our fan base is pretty split on the Corey Barrett argument. A lot of people don't like him. Right. Yeah. I mean, what do y'all think of him? Because I don't dislike him. I think he busts his ass, and he does the little things that nobody pays attention to.
I like those the players who are the intangibles, you could say, right? He makes up for, like, I guess, in the lack of talent and the other stuff that he does, like.
Like, hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard.
Yes, I have this theory. I've been saying this for a long time, and I might get, like, you know that meme where it's like you're standing against the wall and all the knives are pointing at your head.
Mm-hmm.
What opinion would have you like that? I say Tyler Adams is overrated.
Oh,
and I've been saying it for a long time that on the like, but his intangibles, his hard work, his work ethic, his unafraid to do a sliding tackle, all these little things make up for the dude is not that great, I think, soccer wise in like passing and stuff. I don't think he's that good, but and everything else makes up for it. So
hey, it's a fair take.
If you got to take Tyler Adams or Weston McKennie or Yunus Musa into a bar fight, who are you taking?
Into a bar fight.
I might take
Tyler Adams.
I might take Tyler Adams.
Probably taking Tyler Adams.
And then I know it's not going to be a fair fight because Weston McKennie's going to jump in.
I think Weston McKennie would be too busy eating chicken fingers. Motherfucker always looks well fed. He's the fattest looking in shape guy I've ever seen. Him and Casemiro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like what I said. Well, we played DC United, so Wayne Rooney's right there. Yeah. So Wayne Rooney is my age. But he's 15 years older somehow. You know, like this guy was a professional soccer player 5 minutes ago, and he's never been in shape.
Horribly.
He's never been in shape in his life, I think.
I don't think he's lived a very like pious lifestyle though.
No, he hasn't.
I think during COVID he was hanging out with Kyle Walker and them having sex parties.
Probably.
Like, no, he was
swapping wives.
There you go. I mean, I've seen Rooney's wife. I wouldn't swap her.
I mean, she's what was the gate? The Vardy gate.
What was that? Did he bang Vardy's wife?
Their wives went. That's the reason why he had to go back to England. His wife and Vardy's wife got into it, and then they actually like end up suing each other.
Oh, nice.
There was a rumor that there was a clause in his contract that if his wife said, "I don't like it here," again, he can leave DC.
Are they still together?
Yeah,
but I think they're in England and he's here on his own right now.
Yeah, so that's working out for Wayne.
Yeah.
Wayne's about as good as relationships as I am. This makes him last. So, all right, man. What do you got for us?
So, when we like to – our play is free as a wing play. Now with Santi, we're kind of dabbling into more up-the-middle stuff, or at least – staying there, how would we be able to not, if we were to break your defense, how would we break that given that we're more of a wing heavy
out
team.
Wide.
Out wide.
Yeah, we're just more out wide.
Well, Tate Schmidt can't defend either. Both are healthy fullbacks can't really defend. So,
well, your boy Dorsey, he doesn't defend very well. Schmidt's a little bit better.
Schmidt made Ragone look like a superstar last night.
Shut him the fuck out. It's 2-0. Why are we arguing? We're on the same team, Joey. What are we doing?
In the first half, Gallagher and Ragone were having their way.
You gotta believe in your team a little bit.
That's because big fucking Ben Olsen made the adjustments. Man, it depends on who we start. If we put Daniel Steris back there, which I don't like, he doesn't belong there, but him or Franco Escobar, they defend the wing play well. On the left, we have a young Dutch internet. Is he international? U20? Joey,
no, he's Suriname. Suriname.
DJ Vanderkust. He's a fast, small, he's fast as shit, defensive winger. But after that, we really have two defensive wingers, and on the left, we have two offensive, and on the right, we have another offensive. So we have five different wingbacks that we can run, fullbacks. And, dude, I can see the wing play being effective because a lot of times we leave diagonals open.
Mm.
Like, if you can ping diagonals, we do tend to let the opposing team's wing on the backside, we leave him open, or the back if he pushes up the field.
Oh, that's going to be rough. You're muted, by the way, Sanchez.
Shit. So for my dog was barking. That's why. So for us, we have with Kufre, our new left back. Come on, man. I'm talking here, buddy. with our new left back, we have a overlap on the left hand side that is crazy. Like we could literally attack with like 6-7 players, and our crossing is good, but that's the thing with the center forward, that we don't really have nobody up there. Yo, I'm sorry guys, this guy is like going crazy.
I'll continue. Our game right now is very, like, we're going to pull these. It doesn't matter if it's Tavon Gray, if it's Jason playing there, even though he's been playing further up now, Elenich. It doesn't matter who it is. As long as you're playing right back or left back, you are an offensive-minded player for us. And we're going to overload those wings with our wingers. So you're going to have two people pretty much doing our fullbacks are going to overlap, and then our wingers are just going to tuck in, and then you're going to have Keaton and Santi on the by the D, with Magno probably being in the box. So it's just the way we play. It's an overload, because we're going to end up probably playing a high line anyways, just because we like to play up top. We like to press early on, and then we notice later on in the matches we kind of like to sit back, especially if we're winning. It kind of causes us some us giving up a goal late. The last couple matches, but
expect if we have a lead or a tie late in the game, expect us to park the bus.
Yeah, we are parking it.
Yeah, we are Jose Mourinho out there when we're tired or got the lead. What did we do last game? I think we took out our center forward and we put a defensive midfielder in.
Yeah,
last game. Yep.
So, but if you guys are having issues defending on the wings, then I'm seeing the light at the end of the tunnel for us on this road trip.
Yeah, I'm looking right now at who scored at your where you guys attacked from, and you are most definitely, you're about 40-40 down the sides.
Yeah, yeah,
about 25 in the middle.
It's literally wing play. Like
our game has changed from years in the past. Like, we're no longer as direct up the middle as we were, because we no longer have Maxi Morales. But with that, I guess it just frees up more on the wings. Like, we just, because everybody's a winger. We have like mm-hmm. you know, we have so many wingers on the team that everybody plays the wings, and we've having some success there. Obviously, not as much because we've only scored a handful of goals on the season. But
you see it developing though. Like we've been kind of saying it amongst ourselves. Where every week we just get that much better, like just slightly better. You just see, okay, we're better than last week, but we still have room to grow. Like, first, like Magno being our nine, or quote unquote nine, he doesn't like getting the ball passed to him in the box and then scoring. He's let me get the ball maybe like 20 yards out, dribble out on somebody, do a flick, just do love. He is Brazilian to the T. He wants to go. What is it? I can't remember saying.
Jogo Bonito's the shit out of that ball.
Yeah, regularly. What was it against Miami? There was a play where we got mad at him for, but he was literally dribbling the ball with his head in the middle of four defenders.
He held the ball on his head and he's walking. He's running.
It's going to be fun to watch, but he gets us annoyed because he'll just take one too many dribbles and just overshoots it or misses his shot for it. But that's what our thing is. We go to the wings just because he's comfortable there. He grabs the ball, dribbles up, and then someone will know, okay, I got to play that center role and kind of just distract people. I mean, we even had James Sands there at a point in the box. So I'm telling you, expect the way you guys are telling me, expect to be overloaded.
You know, looking at the stats here, you guys, the game we won versus Austin, we focused primarily down the wings. The game that we should have won versus Cincinnati, we really ran it through the middle. And the game we played like shit in the snow against New England, it was pretty balanced. So we might see a similar, especially with the lack of Coco Carrasquilla, you know, the lack of a midfielder. Joey, who do you think they're bringing in place of Coco? Who would you pick?
I think it's probably going to be Caicedo.
Okay, which would definitely force us into more with play because he is his true six, as is Artur. So you might see the same thing. You might see wing play from both. The difference is we don't, and Joey, correct me if I'm wrong, we don't overload the box. We don't push our midfielders into it. Maybe Herrera.
Yeah, Herrera does, but no, Artur and Caicedo probably won't even touch the box.
We're going to attack with, realistically, three in the center and two on the outside. I don't think we attack with more than five or six at a time.
Usually the opposite fullback comes up.
Yeah. You'll leave, yeah. Who is it? Franco will invert on the left, but he'll be there. He'll invert. Baird will play wide. Schmidt runs up the left. Yeah, we only attack with four or five, but
I'll say this. Our wingers are like, if Gray gets some time, he's really good defensively.
Like, right back.
Excellent. He will snatch the ball from you without you even knowing it. And think about it. He came in for Anton Tinnerholm. And I mean, it was out of an injury, but he ran through that all the way to the championship. He started MLS Cup. Yeah, he was the third or second youngest.
I think it was the second youngest player ever to start an MLS Cup final.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and he held his own. He holds his own. He's not scared to get in there.
I would like to give you guys a little glimmer of hope, right? So, well, we have a starting 11. What we don't have is a lot of depth on the bench. You know? So,
I'll run it back because it froze.
Oh, you guys? Okay.
No, I gotcha.
My bad. That's on me.
So, like, our bench, we only have legitimately two attacking players who will get off the bench in Thiago Andrade and Andres Jason. And Andres Jason is more likely than not, he will not come in.
If he's in, we're looking for fouls.
If he's in, I think he led the league last year in most fouls drawn against in per 90 minutes in the league. And he barely played. He's a magnet for fouls. He has this face that you just want to like punch. You know,
whatever happened to that Kevin O'Toole guy?
He is there. He's there.
He's
the backup left back right now.
He's the backup left back because I really enjoyed him watching him play towards the end of last season, and he just kind of disappeared.
Well, that's the thing. Like, his first start for the first team was the Campeones Cup final,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't know who he was, but then after watching him, I was like, who is this guy? And then he wound up starting the rest of the season. But like we said, we signed this new guy, Cufre, from Spain. And he looks a lot better. You know, and I also think that he's also match fit because he's coming in midseason form.
Mm-hmm.
I think that has a lot to do with it also.
Well, so, I will tell you that Saturday it's going to be warm. It's not going to be Houston warm, but it's going to be mid-80s here.
Yes, I actually looked up the weather because I figured – well, it's March, so it's easy 85 degrees in Houston.
Yep, 83. It's going to be 83 on Saturday.
Yeah, so.
Nice.
So that'll be a benefit. Whereas in New York, it's going to be 40 fucking six.
Yep. Well,
yep.
We're still
it's warm today.
It was warm today. We have 55 today. So
I like how you say it was warm today and it was 55. Here it was like 70.
Yeah.
No Scully today. I'm bald and no Scully. So
after a winter, anything over 50 is summertime for us.
Bro, I wore shorts and a t-shirt out the other day doing my laundry. The guy goes, "Aren't you cold?" I was like, "I'm from up north, bro. It's different."
So like I was saying with the depth, like we don't really have depth pieces. So like going into Houston, the heat, the size of the fields, the traveling could have an effect. So if we start having to have like by injuries or cramps or whatever, have to get into our bench, we might be in trouble. We don't have depth in center back. And our right back right now, I think Andres Jason, he's like a jack of all trades also, like Kevin O'Toole, would be our backup right back. So he might not even come in the game to begin with.
Because
he's gonna be forced to be out because our backup right back got called up by Slovenia. So we don't have nobody there. We have Thiago Andrade who could play the center forward and he could play either wing. He's the guy that you should expect to come off the bench and be a big spark.
Huge spark.
You know, but after him, offensively, we don't have another spark on the bench. We don't have a number ten backup.
We don't have a Keaton backup. Like someone cannot take over for Keaton.
Like we have people with pulses and a brain, but like it ain't much more than that.
Would you say signings wise, your most important signing would probably need to be another striker to get Magno out on the left and then have Pellegrini play a sub role?
Yes. That would be perfect. Getting a true center forward, putting Magno on the left, and having Pellegrini as a sub, and play that role when we need an attacking player. You know.
And do you guys miss Haber?
You know what? After the first 2 weeks, I was like, yes, but then he got a hamstring injury at training, and I was like, that's the Eber I know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was same thing. Like at first we were like, shit, like. You're in Seattle. We're all saying like he was gonna never play because, you know, turf. He's literally coming off a year long injury last year, but last year he came out of a year long injury, and then Rui Diaz gets injured and then he has to start and then has a great start, but I would say I miss him on the fact that he can't play the number. He's an actual number nine, even though he actually played the wing in Europe, but for us he was really a number nine. It just he had a lot of spark coming in. I think what was it when he came in DC that one day and just had a crazy goal. But after that, he actually really didn't do much after that. If we go back into the Rolodex.
Yeah. After his injury, he really like didn't have much of an impact on the team. Yeah.
Imagine adding David Villa to this creative team you guys got now.
Oh.
But see when you mentioned David Villa, we had that with Tati Castellanos.
Yeah.
In a way, Castellanos turned into like a David Villa Kun Aguero hybrid, who's a center forward, but he also loves to drop back, like deep back, and he goes on the left wing.
Yeah.
Do you think Tati comes back?
Nah. I would hope not because I'm actually a big, big fan of his. I actually have his jersey, game worn jersey.
I see it up there. I saw it.
Nice.
Let's see if you can see it. That's the game worn jersey from when he won the Golden Boot.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. I don't think he comes. I think, I mean, he was already being told, like, said, like, oh, Brighton wants him. And Girona was like, no, like, we're not selling this guy. We need him for, like, our battle here. And
at the same time, did you guys think Sands was coming back either, though?
No.
No,
I didn't think so. Well, when he left initially, I was like, no, I don't think he's coming back.
Yeah, he said he had offers from other places too.
But like throughout, as the season went on, and then we noticed that, like, well, it's obvious Rangers not going to pick him up. I guess he might come back. But initially, when he first left, I was like, "There's no way this guy comes back. He's too good."
Yeah.
But
so now you think the door is shut for him for future Europe moves?
James Sands?
Yeah,
I don't think so. I think the door's still open. I think if he gets called up to the national team somehow, whether it be obviously not the Nations League right now, but what if that friendly game against Mexico coming up, which is rumored to be a heavy MLS-based team and not a European-based team because it's not a I don't think it's an actual FIFA window. If he starts getting called up against the national team, because what put him on the map is that he had that run in the Gold Cup, where he played a bunch of matches in that Gold Cup run.
Yeah, he was great.
And he won.
Because I think the only game he didn't appear in was the first game of the group stage. Besides that, he appeared in every game. And I think that's what put him on the map. And I think if he starts getting national team call-ups again, then yes, he would definitely go to Europe. Maybe to like a mid-table German team or something. I think that would suit him perfectly. I think that would suit him perfectly.
I think it's a little concerning with the national team that we see Tyler Adams get hurt and Sand still doesn't get called up.
But they're calling up Owen Wolf.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, there's... Do you guys have any, like, young guys that are cracking through? Or like
the men's team, the U.S. team?
No.
Brooklyn Reigns, maybe.
Brooklyn Reigns
has
grown through the youth teams. And then we have Juan Castilla. He's the other guy we have leaving on international. He's not for the U.S. team, but he's the Colombia U-20s. He's a standout for them.
Yeah, but that'll change. I don't, dude, if he can't make the bench with us here, how does he fucking get a spot in the Colombian national team one day? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree with you.
He's still very young, though. He's like 17, 16, 18, somewhere like that. He's still
very
young.
To be honest, like let's call it how it is. Wayne Rooney scored his first fucking goal in the Premier League at 16.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, there's a difference between MLS midfielder and Wayne Rooney, but.
Yeah, but like you look at the ability to be 16 years old and go in, whereas Brooklyn Reigns at 16, 17, he went and he played a few games last year in MLS.
He's 16, at,
Busio, Gianluca Busio, he was 17 years old and he was fucking, and he was bossing shit in the midfield.
Tyler Adams debuted at 16 also.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of guys that do it, and you have
the Aronson brothers. Yep.
Yeah.
What's his goal? Half of Philly's team. They all came
really
young.
Yeah,
even Sands. When did Sands start playing? 18.
He got signed at 16, and I think he debuted
at 19.
And MLS? No, I think he debuted.
17.
17. Yeah. I think
Scally was just as young too.
Yeah, and Scally.
Yeah.
But Scally didn't have more than I think he had like 77 or 87 minutes. In 6 months.
Yeah.
So he barely played as well.
Now doesn't NYCFC have the feeder deal with Manchester City and all that, aren't they, in that umbrella?
Mm-mm.
Oh, we're supposed to be under the lifeline, but we haven't gotten nothing from them coming in or coming out and since the first year, yeah.
We had Shea Facey and...
Angelino, right?
Angelino, yeah.
Yeah.
One became something and the other just decided to catch a check.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't call it a feeder system. I would say more. I know that's kind of like what we get, like the flack that we get because we're tied up with Man City, but it doesn't because we had Jack officially technically sign with Man City. Young, I would say CFG, because they could go everywhere. They'll go to Girona. They'll go to Montevideo. They'll go to. They wouldn't go to Japan.
Melbourne.
Melbourne, we haven't had anybody go to Melbourne yet.
Well, David Villa sort of did.
Yeah.
Well, officially,
yeah.
That was let's just call it funny money at that point.
And then he faked an injury because he didn't like talent out there. Yeah. He thought he didn't respect the league. He faked the injury. He only appeared in four appearances.
It's weird because you guys can talk to us about like your academy a little bit. Our academy we were actually talking about it. We have a lot of products in Europe right now. So I want to say more, nice. The more of MLS, like within MLS, I think maybe Dallas has the more high profile folks, but we have Reyna, Scally, Sands was there. Then we have Jack, who came through us.
Jack Harrison.
Jack Harrison. And Yanger Herrera, who came through us, is now at Girona. And, he wasn't homegrown. He was in the academy, but he came to us young from Venezuela.
He was good. I liked
him. I the moment he left, we missed him. He was the guy that got injured in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
You also have Tati, who's out in Europe as well, who
Who came in
17, 18 was it that he came in?
No, he came in young.
He
came in through the whole CFG thing because he came in from Montevideo Torque.
Yeah.
Montevideo City.
Same with Santi, right?
Santi also. Well, Santi was just signed for funny money also. He was signed to Torque and then loaned to us initially for the first 2 years, which is one day. I'll tell you guys, be honest, when the team was announced, I was like, yes, we're going to be the first MLS team to get hit with financial fair play violations. Yes. Like, you know, like I would like to hold that title.
We'll be the first MLS team to get relegated.
Yeah, like we'll start the season off with like minus 30 points because we can't get relegated. But
Miami took that from us.
Miami took that the throne from us first.
Yeah, you got Pellegrini out of the deal. He was one of their overages, wasn't he?
He was their 50p. He was their first ever signing, and then they were paying him funny money also.
Yeah, they're like, hey, how did you guys fucking forget? How did you forget about a designated player? That's kind of a big deal.
They kind of forgot to play him too.
Yeah, Matuidi, that's how they forgot.
Yeah, I was looking at Pellegrini's stats, man. He sat like the name you just expect him to be good, but I was looking at his stats. He doesn't produce a whole lot, goals and assists-wise.
We're literally asking ourselves almost every single match is how was he a DP? You can see the flair in him, and I think when the manager says, I liked his work rate, that just tells you he just liked how physically he is, not necessarily what he's doing.
He plays defense, too.
It's the work ethic. It's all those intangible stuff that we talked about, because there's moments in the games, at least the last two games, he had the same like what are you doing moment in both games where like the ball was going out of bounds, and then when he went to go stop the ball from going out of bounds, the ball just went right under his leg.
Yeah.
So you guys were asking
when
about
you signed him, did you think he was going to be like a Carranza, or you thought you could maybe make him explode like how Philly did with Carranza?
To be honest, I definitely felt like he was a DP for a reason, right? He just came from Argentina, from Estudiantes de La Plata on loan. Like, he's not, in theory, he's not supposed to be a bum, right? So it's like, all right, so his ceiling is probably very high. I guess he just came in at a point in the season where we couldn't really squeeze him into the rotation last year. Yeah. But now he's getting his fair shake from the beginning. And that the first two games, I wasn't overly impressed, but I think he's starting to grow on me a little bit. I'm starting to see what he's actually good at, what the things that he does good, and the ceiling should be really high, supposedly.
So you guys asked about our academy, and we've had two academy players come through and play for our club in our 17-year history. Tyler Derrick, who now plays for RGV in USL Championship after beating up his girlfriend.
Oh, man.
And being acquitted. He was acquitted, but he did it, probably. And then Memo Rodriguez, who now, did he play? Has he gotten off the bench for the Galaxy yet?
He's started every game, I think.
Shut the fuck up. Has he really?
He started the first two. I know that for sure.
Is that why they're boycotting for real? They're like, get this motherfucker out of our club.
Yeah, he started the first two games, and then he played 25 in the last game.
They're not mad about Klein. They're mad about Memo. But, dude, our academy, you know, there is no reason why Houston should not be a top three soccer-producing venue in the United States. New York, L.A., Houston. There's no reason.
Yeah, that's crazy because, like, when you said that, you know, us being in the East, we're unfortunately the way the league is, like the West Coast sometimes, like West Coast teams or Western Division team, whatever you want to call it, since we're not really always focused on them, we only play three a year and they tend to be just random. We don't really, you know, like this year we're playing Portland, you guys, and at RSL, or I think
RSL. They're not
bad. We tend to focus a lot on our division just because, you know, we're tracking them more. But I would honestly, I'm surprised you're saying that because I'm like, Houston, you know,
they were 50% Hispanic.
Yeah, not to lean on like the Mexican side of.
No, lean on them, bro, because we need to, because nobody else fucking.
You guys have a hotbed of soccer obsessed people in your city playing like Sunday league in any park, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. There has to be some talent there to cultivate.
No, dude, look. Who's got kids here?
Not us.
So you all are fucking lucky. So I'm going to tell you, as the father of a kid who's played with the academy for the Dynamo, it's the pay to play. It's too much.
It's pay to
You pay. You have to pay to get in, and the prices to get noticed, $2,500 a year, and that's not including kits and tournaments.
Sheesh.
That's not including uniforms and tournaments, and that's
Houston's Academy?
So Houston's Academy, he did get like a partial scholarship into one of his leagues, but he has guested on like the Academy team before. He's not an Academy kid. He's a good soccer player.
Okay.
But I've seen the Academy kids. Even the Academy kids to get noticed. If you're not impressed at these tryouts, bro, you are paying $2,000 plus per year to play. Mm. And what inner city kid, which one of these kids that has come here from El Salvador, from Guatemala, from Mexico, who the fuck has that money?
Listen, now that you mention it like that, right? If we look back at the list of our Academy players who have broken through.
They're all
come from well-off families.
Yeah, who's the best player to ever come out of Texas? His name's Clint Dempsey. His parents had to drive him 2 hours each way to go play in fucking Dallas because they live in Nacogdoches.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's the system here is broken, and we've installed these little mini pitches in downtown, and we've done all this stuff. But to be honest, man, there are little kids running around barefoot in the park somewhere that'll never get a chance to play in the Academy because none of these guys ever see him because they're not paying money.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have the means or the wherewithal to get out and figure out how to do it. And a lot of these guys that come from South America, they already have a club. They have the America. They have the Tigres. They have their clubs. Like, why the fuck would they root for the Dynamo? But I will tell you what, man, when Tigres or America come into town, downtown, it looks like a fucking La Michoacana. Like, it's just, there's street vendors, street corn, you're selling blankets. Yeah. It's August. It's 1,000 degrees. Buy a blanket. No, I don't want a blanket. But it's hard. It's every sport here is like that, aside from football, because you can just sign up and play.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean? Like, we don't find them. And we have a massive, we're the fourth largest market in the country.
Exactly.
And you guys split with two teams. LA splits with two. And Chicago's a fucking disaster.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So realistically, we're the third most attractive market in the country, and we can't fucking produce anything but a Hispanic kid from Wharton and a white guy that beats his girlfriend.
Mm.
Yeah,
that is pretty sad. I did not know that statistic about two players in this all these years. We have two Academy starters right now.
Yeah, we have Gray
and Sands.
Our Academy.
But yeah, it is changing. It's
Jason is a homegrown.
Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Just saying, like we have, like I'm going down the roster. And like we have I think 4 to 5 homegrown players signed right now
to our first team. Yeah.
Do you guys have an MLS Next Pro team?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because when we started that, that's going to be the big thing. Like we have started to revamp the Academy. We have started to redo things. We have started to really focus on analytics and youth. Because, dude, we didn't have an analytics department till this year.
Wow.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I told you we were neglected. We were neglected for a solid decade, over a decade, man.
You see, I was under the impression, honestly, and this is maybe just my naiveness of just the entire league sometimes. Like, I could have, because, you know, you have 2 stars above the crest. You've had known players in the league, because I'm going to be honest, I'm a huge Dwayne De Rosario fan.
Yeah.
I've seen, like, his son used to play in our academy. Or still does. I can't remember.
No, he doesn't play with us anymore.
All right. But
you know who Joey's cousin is?
Who?
2-time MLS Cup winner Mike Chabala.
Oh, yeah.
Shit.
That's his fucking cousin. Yeah.
That's heritage. That's heritage right there.
That's right. That's why I recruited him. I was like, Joey, get your ass on here.
Mike. That's coming as a genuine shock because I would have sworn that Houston was that the reason why you guys maybe we're not as competitive were for other reasons than your academy. I could have sworn that academy was at least trying.
No.
And then, you see Dallas. You know.
Well, here's what Dallas did is they took all the youth clubs, but they took a majority of the youth clubs. Cause here we have, you got two hands full of youth clubs here. You Houstonians, Albion Hove, you got HTX, you got K, whatever the fuck they are out of Katy. You have 7 to 10 academies here for different levels. USL, we have 2 USL2 teams here, so we have all these different academies, whereas Dallas went and intelligently brought them under the FC Dallas umbrella. Maybe not all, but the majority of them, they brought them all in. They assimilated them, and that is not something that's a question I asked Pat Onstad when I got a chance to talk to him. I was like, are you looking into making the other academies, bringing them under umbrella. And he was like, no, we're focused on what we got. And the thing is, I have seen what our Dynamo Academy has. And I can tell you right now, some of these teams that don't speak any English whoop the fucking floor with our academy teams every year. Every fucking year. The little Hispanic kids from the inner city, or the teams from Katy that have all the money, man, the Woodland teams, they whoop their ass. But until they go and they get a little solidarity, I think it's going to be one step up, two steps back.
Well, that was something that NYCFC did when they first started their academy, is that they literally absorbed, I want to say that the top youth clubs in the city, Gochi, Met Oval Club, all these clubs, they absorbed them in, and
they made them an affiliate program, and but yeah, they ended up becoming the academy anyways.
They wound up poaching the best players out of there and built the academy out of that.
We don't do that.
Westchester FC. And now they're not as affiliated with them.
You said Westchester?
Yeah, Westchester.
Oh, yeah, my best buddy used to live out in Westchester.
So they absorbed all these. They took out all the best kids. They poached all the best kids and built your academy that way. And these are the players you see. You see, Justin Hack came from one of those. Came from, I think, Met Oval.
Oval.
Tavon came out of South Bronx. All these players came. Sands and Reyna, all of them came out of Manhattan Soccer Club. Like, they all came out the best youth clubs that already existed for years and years and years, and they just built the foundation. And that's something that probably Houston should have to do.
Yeah. To make it realistic. Yeah.
Yeah. To at least build the foundation, at least for a couple of years, affiliate yourself with these clubs, take their best players, and then move on from there. Once the academies start producing, like, winning teams, winning major tournaments, it'll probably be easier to draw the attention of other kids.
And the thing with Houston is, like, we'll play matches against teams in the Woodlands that are 40 miles away. It's a 90-minute drive with traffic. Houston's fucking huge.
Yeah.
Like, end to end, top to bottom. I mean, top to bottom, it's 80 miles. End to end, it's 60 miles east to west. And getting around the city, it's not like, you know, where you can hop on a train and you're there in 20 minutes. Like, you guys can hop on a train to Connecticut and be there in an hour. We drive an hour and we go 40 fucking miles.
Oh, it's like LA.
Dude, yeah, it's not as bad as LA. It's not even close. California's way fucking worse.
I've been to Houston, and I drove there. Let me remember where I drove there from. I don't remember if I came from Dallas, but I came from, I might have came from Austin, to be honest. I drove in from Austin, and I remember getting close to Houston, and you could see Houston in the distance, and there was so much traffic that we wound up pulling over just to kill time and let the traffic kind of die out at, what is it, Bucky's?
Bucky's. Cleanest bathrooms in the world, baby.
Well, I'll tell you this. I've never heard of it. When I went there, it was an experience. I had the food was good. Everything was great. And then afterwards, I would see the memes about the place. And I was like, yo, that really is that place. You know, that is that spot that you got, like, that has everything. You want a cowboy hat?
Yeah. You want a grill? Pork, you need a smoker?
You pull pork.
Everything.
Toiletries, everything.
I'm waiting for my first Bucky's experience.
I'm waiting for them to put a fucking Wawa down here.
No, you don't.
Oh,
no,
yes, I do. Man, I used to work at Wawa, bro. Dude, I never liked Wawa.
It's different now, man. Wawa is, we on our way back up from Philly, I think it was, essentially.
Yeah, we stopped at a Wawa.
And we literally went right back out.
Yeah.
Man, you know, it's because of Philly Wawa. Yeah,
no, it was in Jersey.
Oh, it was probably Cherry Hill.
Yeah, it was somewhere around there.
South Jersey. We got good Wawas down there, I promise. Good coffee. All right, Joey, did you have a question about what's his name? Magno?
Oh, we already asked that one.
Did we?
Yeah, we kind of went into that one about him starting.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about this last one. So a lot of people around the league like to hate on you guys in Yankee Stadium. But for me, I've been to there. I've seen three, four games there. I don't think it's as bad as people say. I think it's interesting to get your guys' opinions.
Can we clip that and just forever now I'm just gonna just be like,
look, pin it on.
Just pin that. I'm gonna pin that on our Twitter and just leave that as is. MLS Buzz caught it this week from all of us over this.
I think because of Apple TV now, we're able to rewatch the matches. Now I kind of see why people hate it, because it's a really rough watch on TV.
Because the sight lines and angles aren't built for soccer.
But there, it's not bad.
In person is not as bad as watching it on TV. The camera angle, I feel, is too low. Where the camera is to begin with is kind of weird. There's no ad boards on the near side of the camera. So, like, you have, like, this one side with all this extra space. But when the camera turns left, it gets really tight on the left field area. So it's like it's a lot of depth perception issues on the TV. And I'm not even going to get into the actual field conditions, because I think we can all agree the temporary grass on top of the infield is not the way to go. It's dangerous.
It's sod.
Yeah. Just let them play on the dirt.
Yeah, but our outfield grass is some of the best grass in the country. Hands down. I think it's Kentucky bluegrass, if I remember correctly.
Oh, yeah, I will tell you that our pitch got pretty rough towards the end, but this ground screw we've had for the past 3 years or so, man, they keep that field in tip top fucking shape.
Yeah, you gotta do the onions from like United.
It's garlic in United.
Garlic. Yeah. There you go.
What I did know is I watched the wrap-up show, and the first thing I noticed from the game from Houston against Austin was how bright the green of the grass was. That's some good grass right there.
Yeah, man, we got some good fucking turf down there.
Yeah, but my opinion on the stadium, we know what everybody thinks, right? We know the takes that everybody are going to say, it's a small pitch. I happen to be on pitch level sometimes, and I can see, like, it's, I can see the, one of the touch lines is, it's very, you can tell it's kind of a little wobbly around the, where the sod is.
Yeah.
But the field, when you're on it and you're looking down, it's as even as it can get. If you do 180, you're looking down the field. It's just the angle.
It's the depth perception.
It's the depth perception.
I've spoken to a lot of NYCFC players on a personal level, and I've always asked them what it feels like, not being mythical Yankee Stadium, but like actually playing like a game on that field. And he said the biggest thing is getting over the depth perception of the field. Like, you're facing one way, and then there's all this space where the home plate is that is just like throws you off. Then you face the other way, and then the seats are right on top of you. So it's kind of weird. And those intangibles, again, that word that we've been using a lot, those intangibles is what gives us a home field advantage, because obviously we play there a bunch of times a year. So we kind of know
where to look. If your eyes are in one place, you know the field is going to be here. Yes. Whereas if you guys are coming over and, you know, you turn around and you see there's nothing on that side, the camera side that Sanchez was talking about, there's literally nothing there but the camera, the VAR screen, and ball boys. So all you're seeing is the third base line, the dugout, and it's so away from the touchline.
It's so much space that it throws that
you off. You don't know where to look. And just that second of you looking that way, that gives us gets our defense to just hound you the way we like to hound, because that's one thing we like. That comes all into play when it comes to playing at Yankee Stadium.
So one of the things I will say about Yankee Stadium, obviously it's not ideal for anybody. It's not ideal for us. It's not ideal for the league to be playing in a baseball stadium. Mm-hmm. We're having the visuals of the infield. But as a fan base, I could actually say we call Yankee Stadium home. Mm-hmm. We could call it home because as a fan base, we've built this culture. Have you guys been to Yankee Stadium?
Yeah,
Joe,
really old one.
Okay. All right, so you know it's literally in the middle of a neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is very unique. That is not seen everywhere in MLS, where the stadium happens to be in the neighborhood. The train is right next, goes along the stadium. There's major highways across the way, and there's bars in the area. You don't really see that often in MLS. Like,
that's exactly what we have.
You know, like yeah, in a sense, you do. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we got that. You
guys definitely have an atmosphere, highways too.
Yeah, and we've been able to build a culture in 10 years or so at Yankee Stadium at the Bronx. You know, like, we're in the Bronx. Like, yeah, people don't really realize this. Like, if you hang out after the game by the bars at night and it gets real late, like, you might act, you're gonna have to watch your back walking to your car type of thing.
Yeah, you know? Like, it's not like,
me, native New Yorker. There was one time that we was chilling on the corner, taking they just hanging out, and a bunch of neighborhood guys came up to us and like we had a run.
Yeah.
Almost. We had to be like, yo.
Yeah, I'll tell you like, this: if you see someone from that block wear a Red Bull kit, it's they're not a Red Bull fan.
I got
yeah.
you.
Yeah,
yeah.
They just affiliate themselves to that. They
affiliate
themselves
to that certain color.
Yeah.
Damn. So, and yeah, like
what we like to say, like where Yankee Stadium is, it's the trenches. You know, yeah. it really is like
the courthouse is down the block. Like it's literally
the jail's right there.
The jail's right there. Our stadium station, like on in the subway, there's a police station in that stadium in that station. On 161st, like
we got Harris County Courthouse isn't far either.
Yeah,
but I mean, it used to be really rough, man. It's like, Joe, you haven't been down there back when Edo, because we call it East Downtown. Mm-hmm. And man, we went out one night. We went to this hot dog and beer bar. Me and my brother, and my buddy, and we decided we're gonna try and drink every beer on the menu. There's like 40 of them. So you know, that's like 12 beers. That's a lot of beers. And about midnight, he goes, "Hey, let's go to this other bar. It's about a mile away." So my dumbass goes, "Let's walk." So we start walking through East Downtown before the gentrification. And my friend's like, "Man, we are going to get fucking shot. We are going to get murdered." And I said, "No, we're not." I said, "I'm faster than you." I said, "You're going to get shot. And you're going to get murdered." But it's not like New York, man. Like I've been to the Bronx. It's much different. Bronx is a lot more rough than here.
Yeah. Houston got theirs. I think you have H-Town.
We got Fifth Ward, H-Town. Third Ward, baby. Bissonnette. Yeah.
Ooh. That's H-Town Browns, I think it was what they were calling themselves back in the day. They wore brown t-shirts and wore the H-Town hat.
You got, what are they? The fucking, what's the biker gang out here? God, they're big in Galveston. They're like the Mexican Hells Angels. I can't remember the fucking name of them.
Oh, the Aztecs.
No. Hold on.
The Mayans, like in Sons of Anarchy?
Yeah. The Aztecs are in California.
If you guys do get a chance, if we ever play
the
you
Banditos.
Guys again.
Banditos.
And City Field, it's a very different atmosphere than Yankee Stadium in the sense that multiple factors are involved where the field, obviously it is a baseball field, but it doesn't feel as like awkwardly open as Yankee Stadium does. Just, I guess, the way the seats are configured and the field's facing the other way.
It's tighter.
The seats are a little closer to this field, and it's in a different community, which is like the Bronx is obviously like a lot of Puerto Rican, Dominican, Black people who naturally don't really draw themselves to soccer, whereas City Field is literally in the heart of Queens and like Corona Queens, which is like the biggest Latino community in the world almost. You know,
like that's like the change from like Shea was open. Shea was really open. And then even in Philly, when they went from the Vet to Citizens Bank, they tightened it up.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Because Shea Stadium was very open. It's very old Coliseum
Shea
style.
Was just
stadium, yeah.
The vast, yeah. But, yeah. I mean, and we're getting our stadium now across the street from City. So it's we're taking the energy that came from City Field and just the community. I think the team finally saw, like, hey, this is where we really need to be at. And we finally got that over the line. So we're at this point, you know, when it comes to Yankee Stadium or City Field, we're all on the mind of this has an end date for us right now.
When's this supposed to be done?
2027 is open. 27. Yeah.
Supposed 27? To be completed in time for the World Cup in 26. That's what
it's going to be open after that.
Yeah.
That's what I'm reading right here. Either way.
Well, the thing is, they're doing it as a part of a whole project. And so it has to come with all the housing, all the hotels, the shop. So maybe the stadium probably will be primarily built by 2026. But I think using it, we won't be able to use it until 2027.
Yeah, so it's basically on a plot of land and nothing's there right now. So they're going to literally build an entire community and a stadium in this community. Mm-hmm. And the only way this could get done, because in New York it's very hard to build anything, especially if you're trying to use tax dollars, which luckily for us, I don't know how many teams in MLS could say this, but as of right now, our stadium is 100% privately funded by the team. You know, zero public funds is coming into our stadium. So what the plan was, I guess the only way this could happen is that of all the housing is built before the stadium.
I'd imagine that's going to be pretty fucking rocking over there when it's done.
I can't wait to catch a game over there.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. It's literally across the street from City Field. Like I said, it's in Corona, Queens, which is a epic center in New York for the Latino community, especially Central and South American communities.
Yeah, we're saying that the moment it comes, that stadium opens, that it can pretty much be a wrap. Yeah, it can pretty much be a wrap for the MLS, and when it comes to atmosphere and sort of cathedral of the league, because you're not going to have a stadium like ours that is within a city block. Next, it's just everything that's going to come from that. It's clipped for that.
I've been fortunate enough to go. I've been to a lot of MLS stadiums, like over 20 stadiums. I think I've been to already at this point. And there's some stadiums like when Chicago was in Bridgeview, like that's in the middle of nowhere. Dallas, that's kind of basically in the middle of nowhere.
It's Frisco, yeah.
What I'm talking about,
Columbus for a while was at the fairgrounds.
Columbus was in the middle of nowhere, you know. Nashville Stadium now, low key, is in the middle of nowhere right now. No one's really talking about that. It's just because it's a beautiful stadium. It's in the middle of nowhere.
If you guys ever go or have to play them, I'll tell you right now, you have a lot of walking to do after the match.
Yeah.
A lot of walking.
I like playing them because our old goalkeeper plays for him and he always spots us a goal.
Yeah.
All right, boys, let's move on to predictions.
Okay.
Sanchez, what do you got?
I'm going with a respectable 3-1 our way.
He said respectable.
Yeah, I'm giving you guys a home field goal.
Joey, what do you got? What's your prediction?
I got goals in this game. I'm gonna go 3-3 draw.
Ooh.
That's a fun one.
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised either way. There's one thing that this team has shown this week, this season so far, is to be lack of awareness at moments.
Yeah.
In key moments.
Set pieces.
That goal we gave up to DC at the first minute of the second half, we're successful to get caught off guard and get scored on.
Yeah.
So goals could happen. There could be a lot of goals in this game.
Yusuf, what do you got? Prediction for the game?
Joey actually kind of changed my mind. I was going to say 3-0. You know what? I think 3-2 us. We still get the win, but we got to come back. That's my prediction.
You think y'all come back like in the last 10? Two goals.
Give us like 15. The last 15. If it's 2-2 at the 10, we're staying 2-2.
I'm sticking to my guns and I'm saying 2-1 Dynamo.
Oof. There you go.
I just think we play different at home, man. We are a different team when we're here.
And we're a different team on the road.
Yeah.
So, I mean, let's be honest. We needed 3 points more than y'all.
I don't know. We need them too.
Y'all got five points.
We need them five points right now.
Yeah, y'all got five, but we only got three. We need them.
We got seven points.
Yeah.
You're 2-1-1. Yeah, you're good. Yeah. We got this one. Let us get to six, man.
We're going to be like, here's a good. Yeah. I mean, you're in the West, so it's not really going to hit us, but we still want the points.
Shit, you still got Philadelphia to get hot. We got LAFC to worry about. Cincinnati. I don't think Cincinnati's that good, though.
I don't think Philadelphia's that good.
Yeah. They showed their downturn.
I'd be scared of Atlanta for you guys.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
If Almeida stays half the year, sure. I think that dude is gone.
They're fucking scary.
Yeah. Man.
But y'all got anything else? We're going to wrap this shit up like a Christmas present.
Nah, guys. It is 10 here, and I'm still in the office.
It's 9 here. And I'm supposed to be at a comedy club in 4 minutes. I ain't going. I'm going to drink another margarita and relax.
Oh, man.
Nah, I just hope everybody has fun.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. All our West Conference team matches are always like, let's just have fun with these because,
yeah,
you know,
once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
But so, all right, boys.
All right. Thank you for having us. First,
yeah, man. Thanks, man. Yeah, thank you for this, man.
This was fun. Yeah. Hey, nothing better than talking to some guys that can shoot the shit.
Thank you, guys.
Nah, yeah. Same here, man. Ditto.
Good luck, man. And hopefully we cross paths again. Whether online or in person, hopefully.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. All right, boys. Take care.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you.
Bye, man.
Have a good night.
Right. Bye.
Got Ferreira at the far post. Can he get a shot off? It's Ferreira to get his second. Yes, he does. Goes in off the hands of JT Marcinkowski. Sebas Ferreira has picked up the second. It's 4-2, Houston Dynamo.
Big shout out to my favorite band, Familiar with Failure, for the introductory music. You can find them at FWFTX on all social media platforms. Once again, that's Familiar with Failure. Check them out. Badass band, cool ass people.